Trust the brotherhood. Playing for the guy next to you. Playing for the team.
What's up, Buckeye Nation? You're tuned in to the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Tradition of Ohio State. Take that serious.
These fellas were born and bred in the Buckeye State.
Buckeye Cast.
The people of Ohio, we work every day to make them proud.
Visit us at thebuckeyecast.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Now here's your host, Joe Warwick.
I'm proud to be part of this group. Go Bucks!
Oh, this is going to be a good show. Oh, yeah.
What is up? We are back. We are back, baby. We got a special guest appearance from Jeff. He is popping his head up. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, brother. Good to be on with you guys again.
Great.
Living the dream down here in Orlando. Why, the weather's, right, weather's great.
I've missed you, Jeff. I wish you could make it a little bit more. I love your takes. They're hot. They're nasty. They're dirty. I disagree with 80% of it, but I love it.
They need sanitized like Sean's girlfriends.
That's right. Anyway. Let me fight.
And a shot.
And a shot.
So, yeah. We got, obviously, Sean is wired for business tonight, and he's coming in hot from Detroit, where you'd think he'd be a little chilly, but apparently things are flaming up there. Anyway.
Nope, I got a double of the double eagle. We're good.
All right. As always, folks, subscribe, follow the show. You know we're on all the social media platforms. Sean is not. Allegedly. He probably has like 30 burner accounts and doesn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah, I don't.
And as always, hit the supply store. I just put up some new designs this week. You guys, anybody going to the Buckeye spring game might want to grab one of those spring game t-shirts. It's pretty badass. Hey,
sweet.
Joe and Jeff, not to cut you off, I want to do a little service announcement. Give me 20 seconds here.
PSA.
So, people, I want to let you know, if you buy the gear from the Buckeye Cast store, it is so dope and looks so fresh. I cannot guarantee that it will save you from coronavirus. I cannot guarantee that. But also, what I cannot guarantee is if you don't buy this, you're not protected at all. So might as well buy it. You don't know. It might help you. You don't know. Buy the shit.
Wrap a shirt around your face.
That's it. That's right.
Make the world a better place. All right.
It's hard to argue with Sean's logic.
Use the t-shirt as a babushka. I know. Use the t-shirt as a babushka and you probably live.
Right.
Let's not bring religion into this.
Right. All right.
Is there religion in a babushka? I have a babushka.
You would.
Whatever. Let's go.
So you seem like the kind of guy that would just have one laying around.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
So we have any bourbon discussion? Any bourbon we're talking about? Sean, I know you just recently ended your month of alcohol hiatus. How's the bourbon?
I did.
Would you break the seal with?
Sounds like it landed on him.
With the double eagle, you know, I cracked that thing right before February, so it's been sitting there like more than three quarters full, just waiting. Yeah. But now we're March. What's today? 9th, 10th? What the fuck's today? Anyway,
let's
after this
eight.
One I'm drinking now.
Let's call it eight.
You call it eight. I'll call it after I'm done with this one. I got about one left in the bottle.
Nice.
I got about a four finger, three ice cube deal running here.
I love four fingers. So a little Eagle Rare you've been sipping on.
Mm-hmm.
I got this bottle of 12-year Weller the other day. Picked it up. Shit, it was good. Good stuff.
That Weller.
Yeah. I miss that stuff. That's hard to find nowadays. I have to call stores around here to locate it.
I was out last night at a buddy's for a little extracurricular, and I got to say that I tasted it back during the holiday season as a gift to a friend, and I took one. But I had some of that, is it Mitchers?
Yeah. How do you like that?
The Mitchers 12-year. I like it. Nice. I like it a lot.
Okay. I got to get back into Blanton's. Blanton's is made by Buffalo Trace, just like Eagle Rare. And it's been like years since I've tried it, and I've been hearing some good things. And I like all the Buffalo Trace products, basically. So I'm going to give that a try.
Blanton's is even like Blanton's is hard to come by. I feel like that stuff comes into the season, and then boom, it's gone.
Right.
They get run out quick.
Yeah. But, yeah, we always like to do a little bourbon talk to start the show. Kind of ease your way into it. So let's get into the show. We're going to talk running back depth. Obviously, the huge news with Teague and his Achilles injury last week and first day of spring practice was a kick in the nuts. Then we're going to talk some corner depth chart. We'll talk about some safeties. And then we really want to get into who needs to step up. Who are we expecting big things from? We'll go around the horn on that one because I think we all have different opinions there. So let's jump right into it with a running back depth chart. Obviously, Teague out. They're calling it an Achilles. Of course, Ohio State will not release any specific injury info, but let's call it a tear. Let's say worst-case scenario. And we've seen some recent Achilles injuries with Tough Borland. Maybe came back a little too soon from his injury. Would you think? Would you say, Sean?
Was that an injury? I thought being slow was an injury. I think he came back just fine. I just think he's slow.
I think he came back too soon. I mean, he came back. That's usually like one of those 9 months to a year injuries. He came back like in 6 months and was playing at week one and, you know, after having that injury. So anyway, I think.
Well, hold on. So that was a year and a half ago. And guess what? After another year, he's still the same speed. He's fucking slow.
Yeah. Not a pro Tough Borland podcast here anymore. We were at one time.
I know, no, and I don't want to do that. I do not want to do that. I love Tough Borland. He's a fucking leader. He just should be like the linebacker's assistant coach and like teach motherfuckers what to do because he can't do it. He's so smart. He's so positive. He's so such a great leader. He can't play the position. He ain't got it. I mean, he'd probably be the best middle linebacker at Toledo ever.
So yeah, let's call Teague's injury a 6 month to 9 month injury,
and I'm going to call it a blessing in disguise
because
Teague is not our best running back.
Okay, Jeff, what do you think? Is this a blessing in disguise?
It's I won't go that far with the lack of depth that we have. Nobody's proven, but. I can't say it's a blessing in disguise. And now it may force some guy to emerge, but I think Teague, I don't think anybody's going to put up any of them. I think are capable of the same level, I guess, let's put it that way. So, yeah, it's going to cause somebody else to emerge, but I don't think it's going to be a blessing.
Well, we got Crowley out until probably summer, at least with the knee. He's had a knee and a shoulder already. We got just Steel Chambers is the only scholarship running back that's 100% healthy. DeMario, we're probably
ding, 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 ding.
Right,
that's our guy.
You got DeMario too, though, and unlike Sean's golf game, his pass protection is subpar.
Yeah, I think. You ain't seen this golf game in ages.
Yeah, and I don't need to. I've seen the smoke signals.
It's sub double bogey, bitch.
Okay. What's that
time.
Come out to?
Not all the time, but most of the time. regardless of that, Master Teague cost us big games last year. He disappeared when I needed you most. You fucking let me down, Master Teague. And I've always been a big Master Teague guy. I loved him from the first time I saw him in spring. The guy was running hard. Of course, nobody's hitting him. And then I see J.K. Dobbins go off to do his thing. He's hammering Michigan. He's hammering fucking Clemson. And anytime we bring in Master Teague, who I think is just a total hammer, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? You just be bam, bam. And Teague folded up. So I don't know if there was some injury going on with him, but I lost a little bit of my love for Master Teague. I'm not saying he can't earn it back, but I am Steel Camp right now. Steel Chambers. I think he's going to be our guy. He's the next Eddie George, and he's going to go off.
Well, I'm glad you make it so easy to disagree, Sean.
Well, that's good, because I don't think Crowley or Teague aren't going to be able to handle him.
Oh, come on. Bring me some. Well, all right. Well, hold on a minute here. Joe, I'll ask you. I don't have that impression of Master Teague at all, in the slightest. Joe, what's your point of view?
What impression?
Sean's, that he's fucking cupcake.
Well, Teague did let us down.
The last four games?
The last four games of the year.
He's a fucking garbage.
Yeah, I will say that. I'll agree, because when he went up against tough defenses, he folded. And if he could have got us one first down against Clemson, we might have salted that game away. If he could have got...
I'm really salty about that Clemson fucking performance.
Oh, yeah, sure.
After how hard Dobbins is running, and if Teague's going to come in and half-ass it like that, I can't forgive it. It's unforgivable.
And to say when we needed you the most, that's probably when we needed you the most. I mean, a playoff game, probably.
Or the only time.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, we didn't need him to salt away Michigan or Wisconsin, you know. Those were pretty much in the bag by the time he got in.
Okay, so if Sean says that it's a blessing in disguise because we can just get him out of there, because coaches don't know who the best is. So get him out of there by injury, and then Steel Chambers, I don't know how much Steel Chambers tape have you seen, Sean? If he's a fucking savior.
Well, so don't twist my words like I'm happy that he's hurt. I'm not happy that he's hurt. I like some Master Teague. Like I said, he was my favorite guy when I saw him his first spring. I was like, this dude runs hard. He reminded me a lot of Carlos Hyde. It's like, you're not bringing this guy down. But then later on in the last season, actually the whole first half of the season, I'm a huge Master Teague guy. I'm like, this dude is legit. And then I feel like the last four or five games, again, you know, Ohio State's not going to let us in on the injury report, whatever, but he go watch those games and tell me if you don't see a visual difference in how he's running, with the intensity that he's running at. To me, I see a difference. And so regardless of that, how I think it's a blessing in disguise. So I've got a little bit of a biased opinion here. Steel Chambers,
all of these like are biased.
Georgia kid, Steel Chambers, Georgia kid that played against my sister-in-law's Catholic high school in the greater Atlanta area. And they went to this game, like in the playoffs. They were like, oh my God, the Steel Chambers. He's like bigger, faster, just totally dominant. So I got a little bit of a Homer feel for Steel Chambers. And I think he's underrated, but he's still like a top 100 player. And I think everyone is discounting Steel Chambers, like, oh, because Crowley was the 45th best player, but Steel Chambers was only the 70th best player. Like, that shit can't flip. I'm telling you, Steel Chambers, and this is a quality kid. He high quality, high IQ football guy. I don't know. Right now, I'm in love with Steel Chambers.
Well, yeah, that's oozing through the headphones right now. And
yes.
It makes me uncomfortable, actually, to the level you're going. But
What's up, Mrs. Chambers?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm not sure that Steele is a guy that's going to give you 20, 25 carries a game, though, like a J.K. Dobbins. I'm not sure he could take that workload. I mean, he redshirted last year. He only played in three games. He took a total of like 33 snaps, you know.
As a true freshman at 6'1", 220.
Right.
Yeah, he don't sound like a bitch to me.
No, nobody's calling him a bitch. But
no, he does not. He's not proven. Just like Crowley's not proven. I think Crowley has as much talent as the other two. He's more of a speedberg, but he's always injured, so he's not dependable either. But I think Crowley, you know, healthy. I'd like to see him and Chambers go head to head. I don't know how much. I don't know how healthy Crowley was during the season, but I don't know where they were in the depth chart. It just, I always saw their names just over. So-and-so or
well, I think Crowley, frankly, was the head of Steele. But Jeff, to your point, I actually think that Crowley, and I'm high on that kid, too. I think Crowley and Steele Chambers have higher ceilings at this point than Master Teague, unless he, like, turned his stuff around. I just super disappointed at the end of last year. And you know what? If you fuck my buddy and disappoint me, man, I'm going to be down on you for a little while.
Oh, I hear you. Teague
has the tools. He runs a 4.4 at what, 220, 230, 225, whatever. His size. Yeah,
No. I just saw the combine. Teague don't run a 4.4, bro.
Hold on, I'll get it for you. I guarantee you he ran a 4.4.
I'm sure he's
clock. I'm talking about a laser.
Well, I'm not there to measure it in person.
He's a 4.58. He's a 4.58, and I'm good with that too.
Yeah, I don't think the Buckeyes wouldn't be, the coaching staff wouldn't be so high on him if he ran a 4.58. If that was his best time clocked, he wouldn't have been taken. He wouldn't have been getting all the snaps that he got.
He's a bowling ball. I disagree. He's 4.58 still a fast guy, and if you're running between the tackles and you beat that first linebacker, he gone.
Here we go. Right,
and then you're a load to bring down.
Here we go. I got him from an Ohio State camp, laser timed 40. This is handwritten in pen on a form from the camp. Master Teague, height 5'11", weight 211.5. 40-yard dash number 1, 4.30. Number 2, 4.37.
So even if you add a second to that for timing, 4.47, that sounds about right. I don't know if he's a 4.37 guy, but 4.47 sounds like, that sounds right.
Hey, Homer,
he's fucking
boy.
Fast. He's not a 4.5 guy, man. I'm telling you.
Right.
Really? Is he, Joe? So,
yeah, he is. What if?
All right.
So he's faster than KJ Hill and Jeffrey Okuda, huh? I don't fucking think so.
Well, it apparently he is. I mean, this isn't made up.
Well, you know what?
KJ Hill's not
I've
fast.
Got money.
Whoever said KJ Hill
was fast?
No, I know
you're a betting guy. I know you're a betting guy, so I'm going to tell you right now, next year's combine or the year after that, whenever Teague good enough to go to the combine, I will put the line on right now that he does not run sub 4.40. I will bet you any fucking thing you want. I'll bet you a bottle of fucking 21-year Pappy,
ooh,
whatever the fuck you want, Teague doesn't run sub 4.4. No way.
All right. I'm going to mark that down on my calendar.
And any of you bitches listen want to fucking take that money, then bring that shit to me.
I'm making note of this right now. I'm going to put it in a safe place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Teague's faster than a CUDA. Yeah, no, for sure he is. Yeah, a lot faster. Fucking ass. He's the number one cornerback. Teague's faster than him? No, he's not.
Yeah.
Okay,
are just liars. It's a laser time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not real. It's not
They altered the laser. Okay, so all right,
I want to time these guys with freaking lasers.
All right, so we've established that
you're telling me you think Master Teague is faster than Jeffrey Okuda.
I didn't say that. I didn't remotely say anything close to that.
Nobody compared the two.
You pretty much. What did Jeffrey Okuda run on a laser?
4.49.
So you just told me that you think Master Teague's faster than him.
That's what I have. Laser timed, I have a 4.3 versus a 4.49. Is it not possible?
No, I agree. I think Teague's much faster than Okuda. No, it's not fucking possible. It's goddamn.
All right. So where do we go from here?
You got me up here
on the depth chart.
I don't have you up there doing anything, Tweaker. All right. So we also need to talk about
shadow punch.
Oh fuck. So we also have.
Can we go to a video feed? Can we get it live? Can we get a live broadcast, Sean?
Yeah.
No way, bro.
That will not pass the FCC fucking regulations.
Yeah. So we also have Mayan Williams coming in, the 2020 running back commit. He'll be in camp in the summer. So
yeah, fat boy.
Yeah, he looked like he's been working out a little bit.
I saw his before and afters.
Yeah,
that before and after was sick.
So he's gonna.
I don't think he'll run a sub 4.4, but he looks good.
All right, so he's gonna be in the fall. Right now, we'll have Steel Chambers hopefully stays healthy through spring. I mean, they're gonna put him in bubble wrap, pretty much, right? For spring, they're not gonna no contact.
You got to think.
Right?
Steel?
Yeah. Because Crowley
generally guy. I don't know.
You can't risk him.
Aren't they confident that the other guys are coming back though? I don't baby him really.
Well,
let's count Teague out for the season. That's what I think.
If he tore his Achilles, I would count him out. Yes.
Yeah.
I think they redshirted him. I think they redshirted him.
Really?
Medical redshirt.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you tore an Achilles.
As a running back.
It's March 1st. Say March 1st, yeah. Roughly. Tore his Achilles. He's not going to be ready by September, October. No.
Well, and fall camp starts in August. That's only 5 months, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when the deadline is to rule him out. But I wouldn't expect to see him if he tore. If it is torn, I wouldn't expect to see him this year. Yeah. Which is fine. Like you said, Sean, though, is going to open up. You call it a blessing. I call it just an opportunity for other people to step up. So if Crowley's healthy, say come fall camp. You know, it'd be Crowley and Chambers and the incoming freshman, and go that way. Jalen Gill, we got to figure out a way to get him the ball too.
I don't think Mayan's going to get much.
Probably not. He's not going to be. Ready for college football.
But not if those two are there.
A little bit. I thought maybe that Mester Teague would be able to play this fall, but if you guys are saying like he's like. Mm-hmm. That injury and that's ain't gonna be worth a shit this year. Then I'm with you. Let's redshirt him. And I'm all for 10 to 15, whichever way you want to cut it between Chambers and Crowley.
Like a 50-50.
And if one of them starts to shine, then you go 20-10. You know,
right? No, exactly. I think those two will. They'll tell you. Who's going to get more touches, just by production.
The other thing is, just another added dimension to the running back position is, will this be a more pass-heavy offense? You know, now that Fields has gotten comfortable, we've got all these stud receivers, that are chomping at the bit to get in there and get catches. We move Garrett Wilson to the slot. I mean, this receiver core and passing offense could be insane. So do we dial back the running game and increase the passing game? A la kind of a Dwayne Haskins 2018 season. What do you think, Jeff?
Very likely. I think Ryan Day's definitely a smart enough coach to use his, you know, whatever talent he has. I mean, if he's, he's got an abundance of receivers, yeah. I mean, he's probably going to go to more of a air raid type Dwayne Haskins offense. But the read option, I mean, Fields is still a master at the read option, so they're going to keep that offense.
Yep.
I mean, to so use, to utilize Fields' capabilities.
That's 5 to 10 carries a game for Fields.
Yeah, and they want to keep him fresh as possible because they know the program rides on him. So
right.
So yeah, they'll try to, but we're going to need running backs. We're going to need at least two, you know, two guys getting a, you know, a lot of work. So yeah, I, yeah, but it wouldn't and, be, it wouldn't be surprised guys, to see us in five wide receiver sets, like, you know, kind of doing what LSU did this year.
Right.
I'm sure we'll see a lot of that.
It's actually obviously not the opportune thing that Teague went down, but I think we are completely set up with the skill set. I think our O-line is going to be better than it ever was. I think we've got more raw talent at the receiver than we've ever had. And I think this running back group, they haven't been seen, but these are fucking studs.
Yeah.
And with Fields and how you're going to have to respect these receivers, I don't see the running game suffering at all. And it's going to be a big part, and I still think it's going to be used. I think these young running backs are going to break off some huge plays, which makes linebackers like, all right, we got to respect these bastards. And then these sick-ass receivers.
Yeah. So, yeah, this O-line coming back is probably going to be the best in the country. I think it's safe to say that right now. Sean, I think we get you hopped up on some goofballs and grass, you could probably go for 1,000 yards this year behind that
O-line.
Yeah, I have to get you doing some squats, but we'll get you ready. But this old line is going to be nasty.
It's
going to
be sick.
So I have full confidence in that. That's why. But I do think that we're going to see a more pass-heavy offense this year, just because they can.
It makes sense. If Fields is developed as a passer, you know, making strides even from last year, of course. I mean, of course we'll see some. But, you know, we're going to have a run. Somebody's going to run. I mean, we're still going to run for 2,000 yards. You know, however that ends up, four guys, you know, taking four guys getting that, or one guy ends up with 1,200. I mean, we're going to be able to run the ball. Somebody's going to be running the ball. Could be a bunch of us.
Ohio State's going to average 250 yards a game rushing, period. It might be Fields. It might be Teague. It might be Chambers. It might be Krupp. They're going to get theirs. There's be there. Especially if Fields starts killing you with all these receivers. These guys are going to be so far back. You're going to be able to run for 8 yards easy before anybody touches you. First, that old line blowing these.
What?
I'm telling you guys, this is the year. I ain't never been high. I've been a little bit higher before, but.
You've been higher.
I'm pretty high on this year.
You're pretty high on this Sunday. Anyway, let's get into some cornerback depth chart. So we lost some bodies here, cornerback and safety both. I still don't understand why we did not see Seven Banks in the playoff game against Clemson. I don't think he played a snap. Did anybody notice that?
I noticed he didn't play, but it was never reported.
Well, Cam Brown played.
Who's he going to replace? Well, yeah, but who is Seven Banks with Ohio State's roster last year going to replace that you think, oh, that's an upgrade? It's not an upgrade. If Seven Banks is in the game, something happened that we don't like.
Right.
No, but he played every special teams, too, and I don't remember seeing him on the field.
No, he did not have a single snap. I have the snap chart
right here. I know he plays punt cover team in kickoff. I mean, but anyways. But he's going to be leaned on huge this year. I mean, hopefully it's not an off the field issue type thing.
Well, he got his number. his name and his number this
Jeff,
year.
Jeff, hold on, time out. Jeff, what was that little stuttering fucking business about? Are you playing with my emotions? I can't handle it after a mere reap and fucking went? What the fuck are you talking about? You know something? He's a Florida boy. What do you know about him?
Stephen Banks is an Orlando boy, too. I don't know anything about him off the field. That's why I'm just kind of wondering. I'm hoping it's not an off-the-field issue or a grades issue where he's ineligible or some dumb shit like that. But, yeah, dude, he didn't see the field. No.
Okay,
we don't run in the same circles, no.
No, but I'm...
Joe made the point. He didn't, you know, why did we not see him in the playoff game? I'm just confirming that I didn't remember seeing him, and I thought that was odd because he's a hell of a player on special teams. But now this year,
yeah, but I
just like every corner, every season, we got this one or two corners that need to come up off the bench and are expected to produce like best in the country. We've had guys doing it for the past 4 years. It's his turn now. You know,
right?
Yeah,
but usually...
I don't know why either one of you would think against Clemson that you would take Sean Wade, Jeffrey Okuda, Damon Arnett, or Fuller off the field to put in Seven Bank.
Not for talent reason, for a rep to give somebody a blow, not because Seven Banks is better than anybody else. It's
no, exactly.
Give him a blow against Bowling Green. That his stakes are too high.
All right.
I think it's a good sign, anyways, that Seven Banks finally got the number seven. You know, usually they only give the single digits to people that earn them, you know. So him getting the number seven is appropriate. And finally, Taraja gave it up
to take number three.
Right.
He moved up. He moved up the scale also.
Right. So yeah, cornerback depth. We're looking at Wade. Obviously, he's moving to outside corner. Seven Banks and Cam Brown will probably be the slot corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now behind them is where things get a little dicey. We missed on recruiting the year Taver Johnson was the cornerback's coach, and so we basically got no corners 2 years ago. In recruiting, and so we're sitting on Tyreek Johnson, former five-star out of Jacksonville, still yet to really see meaningful action. Marcus Williamson, another one, highly recruited corner, still yet to see any important action. And from
out of IMG, right?
Right, but he's from the Columbus area.
Right.
But then from there, it's a drop-off.
He's just like money. He's like 5'8", but he's like so money. He's fast. He does everything right. Williamson.
Yeah. He's one of those spring game warriors.
Right now, I can't believe Sean Wade didn't go. Sean Wade, you're probably saving the Ohio State Buckeye season. If you would have left, we're in deep shit back there. Right. Deep, deep shit. That he came back, Sean Wade, basically Ohio State's 2020 season. That being said, I'm not 100% sold on your guys, Seven Banks and Cam. I think Tyreek is the heir apparent to be a high draft pick in the NFL after Sean Wade. Tyreek Johnson's that guy. I don't think Seven Banks... I don't know. We'll see.
Look at these snap counts from last year. Here's the totals on the season.
87, by the way. I love you. Prove me wrong.
Cam Brown had 254 snaps last year. Seven Banks had 170. Marcus Williamson, 86. Tyreek Johnson, 57.
Why is Tyreek Johnson not seen the field? That kid looked like a monster coming out of high school. Looked right. Like he had the body physically. Ready.
Yeah.
Where's he been? Why has he not shown us? Why has he not shown the coaches anything?
Exactly.
Forever since Joe sent me his highlight tape, I'd wait for him to be total badass.
That's part of that 2018.
Yeah, but I
yeah.
Yeah, that 2018 class.
Time. If it's
Yeah,
he's doesn't one of the happen dudes. Now and
right. So he's one of the dudes that needs to step
but,
up.
But do you? But do you end up? But do you?
We'll get to it.
Do you end up trying to string some of these guys out because we have not recruited great there for a couple of years, like you said, Joe?
Yeah, yeah.
And so are you going to end up with a bunch of secondaries that are junior seniors, you know, guys that have been in the system for 3-4 years, but they've only started for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, you were behind some really good dudes, man. Wait your turn, and
yeah. Well, I think
the talent is there. The experience is not. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you got to open the door to Legend Cavazos and Ryan Watts, the true freshmen. You know, they're in there right now. You give them a shot. We're looking at depth problems, man. We can't fill out a 2-deep.
Right? No, I think they're going to have every opportunity to get on the 2-deep. I mean, total number, the math this tells you, there's only about, five scholarship corners? Everybody's on the 2-deep, you know what I mean? Five, maybe six guys? So you're going to get, obviously you're going to, if the true freshmen, if they think they can play, you know, meaningful snaps, no more red shirts. You can't when you have that lack of depth. You can't afford to redshirt guys. You got to just reload the following year.
I'm not talking about red shirts or getting guys snaps, but I don't think those guys are. I mean, LeJean Cavazos, I think he's going to be a like legend at Ohio State. I like his whole aura. I think he's going to be like a generational guy. But he's like the 18th best corner coming into Ohio State. He's one of our lower ranked guys. We've got guys that are. We've got five guys ahead of him that are top 100 guys. He's like 340 or something like that. Again, I think he's special and got different. He's got that it factor on him, but I don't see LeJean or the other guy Joe mentioned
Watts
making any difference at all this year, at all.
Well, both those guys are 4 stars. These guys are not garbage.
But LeJean, actually, I think when we first started talking about him, was a top 100 player, and then he ends up dropping like a couple hundred points. Like,
yeah.
That always, to me, is like, question, like, what the, is he a fucking dickhead? Has he got, like, attitude problem, or is it his talent?
I think it's because he didn't attend a lot of camps. You know?
That's always a thing, for sure.
So yeah, corner to me is one of the most important positions where we got to have 6 guys to rotate in there, you know. And right now we're struggling. You know, with the two on trial
that hurts the depth.
Yeah.
So, I think everybody's gonna get a shot. We don't have that many. Yeah, you're right, Joe. You need six corners. That can play, you know, that you can put in for a play or two, give a guy a break, and hope that the whole defense doesn't fall apart. You need to have guys you can depend on. We haven't seen any of them. I mean, Cam Brown, that kid looks good. I mean, he skyrocketed up.
Jeff, you say we need 5 to 6 corners. You know how many corners we got right now? We got one. We know we got one. It's Sean Wade, and we don't know anything beyond that, essentially. Other than we have a lot of potential, tons of potential.
Right. Yeah. So yeah,
this is the type of shit. I love seeing these kids develop, though, and
right,
but going out there and becoming fucking all stars.
Yeah, we've seen young corners go out there and have their struggles. You know, a lot of times it takes them a season to get their bearings, a la, you know, Garyon Conley. You know, Okuda was not a stud right out of the womb. So, you know, we gotta suffer through some pain to reap the benefits later on, you know. Hopefully it doesn't take a full season for these guys to get their feet under them, right?
Right.
I'm going to go on record right now. Sean Wade is actually better than Jeff Okuda.
Okay.
And Sean Wade's going to be like the next.
But is he faster?
He's going to be faster in the combine, and he hits harder, and Sean Wade's no joke.
Right. I agree. Safety depth, another area of like basically zero experience, and right. This makes me super nervous too. Josh Proctor, probably the shoe-in for the starting role since we play a single high safety. And then behind him, you got a bunch of dudes we've never seen play. Marcus Hooker, yeah. Bryson yeah. Shaw, Ronnie Hickman. You got true freshman Court Williams. They got him. He actually was recruited as a linebacker, but they got him practicing at safety right now.
Really? Court Williams is at safety?
Yeah. And then Lathan Ransom will be in summer from Arizona.
Yeah.
Ooh,
another true freshman.
I like that kid. But yeah. He ain't going to play this year if he's coming in the summer. But that kid's future is bright.
Yeah.
You said they move Court Williams just because they see it. They don't have a guy to go second team in reps. Yeah. So, they're like, for the sake of the drill, you need to come play safety.
Right.
We got 12 linebackers. We got fucking three guys playing safety. That's just natural.
Here, look at this.
Who's smaller? Who's smaller that can run? We need you over here.
Right. Look at this. This drop off.
Isn't he like 6'2", 220? And
yeah, he's a big
guy,
but he's fast.
He's big body safety.
Look at this drop off last year. Jordan Fuller, obviously, we call him the eraser stud, played virtually every snap. He had 746 mm-hmm. snaps last year. Josh Proctor, 123. And then Marcus Hooker, 82.
Look
at the drop off.
How many of those? Yeah, how many of those weren't cleanup?
Exactly, yeah, none.
Probably, yeah.
No, there was a play at the Clemson game where Proctor got juked by a white fucking quarterback that wasn't garbage time.
Of course.
I love Proctor's that. Potential.
Jeff, did you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Duh, I forgot. Come on, man.
Proctor didn't show up a couple times, and I love this. I think his ceiling was high. He has to prove it to me. I don't like it.
Well, everybody's got to prove something. Nobody. Sean Wade's the only secondary player, really, that's proven anything.
Yeah.
So they all have to prove anything. If these juniors and seniors that were 5-stars and 4-stars, if they get beat up by a 4-star freshman, fuck it. nobody's deserved anything. So we're gonna find out real quick if. Yeah, they're all the same. They're all the same. Highly rated coming in. Well, how are these seniors developed? Because they, Tyreek Johnson, Marcus Williamson, these guys came in with a great defensive back class, and they're the only ones left.
Mm-hmm. And they still haven't cracked the starting lineup.
Barely played.
I tell Sam when all these freshmen come in, and I'm like, Ohio State's getting like the seventh best kid or the first, the best tackle or this and that. I'm like, they go up there, and like somebody will ask him kind of seriously, like, hey, what were you ranked coming out of high school? And he'll start to answer, and the whole fucking room will be like, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to fucking prove it and show out. The beauty of that is Ohio State has like, three deep at every position that's super highly ranked. So whoever shows out of that group is going to be fucking pretty good, I'm guessing. Most times.
Well, my issue with Proctor is I love that he's a big hitter and all that, but you got to play like Jordan Fuller. You got to be the eraser. When somebody makes a mistake in front of you,
yes.
Like a linebacker takes a bad angle on a running back, you got to be reliable back there and not just a headhunter.
You're not the gambler.
You can't miss a tackle on a white quarterback either.
You can't get juked by a 6'6" guy.
Right, because you can't just go for the big hit. You got to be the sheer tackler.
Right, and I love that hit he put on the Wisconsin quarterback on the last play of the game. Big Ten Championship, but you've got to make the everyday tackles consistently.
Right. Nothing can get by you. The big hits when they're there, but don't let a big hit that you miss turn into a, sure tackler.
You never seen Jordan Fuller knock somebody's head off, but you did see him wrap up a running back.
He saved touchdowns. Yeah, right. He saved touchdowns that impacted games, not blowing up a quarterback when when at the last play of a game, meaningless play. I mean, that play wasn't going to do anything.
Yeah.
So he blew him up. Yeah, it was great. Getting smoked on the way out of town. That's great. But yeah, you got to be able to prevent touchdowns.
I think that's why they have Sean Wade. I think that's why they have Sean Wade at corner. Because if Sean Wade was a safety, he'd be getting kicked out of every game. Sean Wade brings it. He will hit you.
Yeah.
He hit Sunshine there, and that was clean. He should not have got kicked out of that game.
We can go over that for years. There's not really much disagreement to that either nationally, but. Yeah.
Sean Wade, through the last couple of years, he is not afraid to bring it. Yeah. I never seen him shy away from contact, ever.
Yeah. So we got a little position switch here. We got a one-for-one trade. Larry Johnson traded Cade Stover to the offense for Cremonte Hamilton. So Cade Stover's now a tight end. Cremonte Hamilton was a tight end, now is a D end. So a little one-for-one action there. Cade Stover, this guy looks like a beast. He was a good basketball player. I watched his highlight tape again today in high school. This guy, he's going to be brutal over the middle. He's got a good, solid tight end room. He doesn't have to come in and play immediately, you know. And we're aware of the D end depth, so... He wasn't really needed, and he would have sat for a couple of years probably at DN.
Yeah, I mean,
he's gonna sit at tight end
for a year.
Unless he's that nasty, I don't know. I feel like they're be part of the team. I don't know if that's like a I think he's probably like fuck. I'm just trying to stay on the team. You guys want me a tight end? I'll be a tight end. I don't know. I'm not super excited about the deal.
We haven't really seen either one of them, so I just figure we'll see how it works. I mean, I really don't have any take on them two switching positions. I haven't seen either one of them play the old position, so I don't know.
All right,
good for them. Hopefully it helps both of them get better, more playing.
Yeah, why don't you go to left tackle for a little while and see if you still want to stay on the team? You'd be a great left tackle, I think.
Okay.
All right,
he's fucked. I don't know. It's because the linebacker shit's so deep.
DN. Yeah, he started at linebacker, then switched to DN in the middle of the season last year, and now he's jumping over to tight end.
I like DN. I like DN better. Like, what's his name? Who's that kid out of Cincinnati that I think plays for him now? White boy? That was
Hubbard. Sam Hubbard.
Hubbard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Stover could be like a Hubbard.
Well.
Dude, we would be so lucky to get another Sam Hubbard out of somebody. Dude, I think the world of that, dude.
Yeah. So.
And he's balling in the NFL. Like, I've watched, if you see games, he's on the highlight tape. He makes plays. Good for him.
Yeah. So let's talk about players that we need to step up. Who is underwhelmed thus far and needs to have a breakout year for you guys?
I want to go first.
You only get one at a time.
I only need one. All Buckeye Nation knows this one. Baron Browning.
Oh, okay. You don't think he's had his breakout season yet?
No. Okay. No. He was the second coming coming out of high school outside of Dallas. Like, that dude, like, he was supposed to change the game. He was higher rated than Raekwon McMillan, the big five-star kid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see him play like an Isaiah Simmons or somebody like that. Somebody like one of the best linebackers in the country.
Yeah.
I don't think he's shown anything close to that. I'm not saying I think he has potential. I want to see him break out. Big time.
You don't mind if I get in your shit for a moment, right?
Oh,
what I'm going to tell you about
have
Baron
at it.
Browning is what I'm going to tell you about Baron Browning is he's going to be ridiculous.
I fucking hope so.
Is it a coming? Is it going to be a coming out party? I don't know. I think when he's been in there and I see him when I'm watching the game, he's noticeable. Like when you're watching 22 dudes run around on the field, he's noticeable. And I'm with 100%, Jeff. Other than I think he needs to make it. I think he's already quietly within at least Buckeye Cast Nation and fucking Ryan Day's crowd. That dude is crazy good. And I think he's going to be one of the best defensive players in the country next year at his position. I think it's going to be so fucking exciting. If you're calling that a, hey, show me something, because he's already been good as fuck. He should have been starting the whole time over Slowpoke. That's all I got to say about that.
All right, Sean, then who's your breakout player that you need to see something from?
What did I just talk about? Tough Borland.
He still hasn't shown anything to you?
I'm so worried. That's the only thing I'm really worried about on this team in a big game. I think Tough Borland will dominate the Big Ten. I think he is a smart. I think he is a leader. I mean, he's actually going to be probably the second, third-time captain outside of JT Barrett in Ohio State history. So I got a lot of respect for Tough Borland. I think in games in the Big Ten, in the out-of-conference stuff, I think Tough Borland is a boss. When you get to a Clemson or a Bama, I think he becomes a liability. And so it's not necessarily Tough Borland I want to see make a change. I'd love to see him make a change. But if not, I'd really like to see a Taraja Mitchell. I want a new middle linebacker, man. I want a dominant middle linebacker. And I want Tough to be it. I don't think he can be it. I think it'll be Taraja or one of these other guys.
Hey, I don't know if you remember, in 2018, we were supposed to have gotten the dominant middle linebacker in the nation. He now does not play middle linebacker, Sean. I just mentioned him.
I know.
If Tough Borland, I mean, nobody's been able to beat him out. Nobody's been able to take time away from him. Why is that?
I think Tough Borland is like an amazing everything. I think he's pretty damn good.
He's everything.
He knows it better
wanted
than everybody. He's the nicest guy on the team. He's a great fucking leader. He's the guy you want on your team. He makes your team better, but he's not the best guy on your team. I don't know. That's what I feel about him. I love him and I hate him.
Well, maybe, you know, probably a lot of this too, as far as recruiting linebackers, we've had different linebacker coaches pretty much changing out almost yearly, say since 2017 to current. I mean, I know Al Washington's coming in second year now, but we had some turnover there. Bill Davis and some other guys. I don't even remember.
Shiano,
right? I mean, am I remembering that correctly? That
Fickle,
like,
was a few years ago.
Yeah. So we haven't gotten. I mean, Baron Browning was the last, you know, top ten.
But Baron Browning,
linebacker
actually,
that we ever take.
He played like more of a outside rush the quarterback kind of linebacker in high school. He didn't play middle.
And you know what? If you guys want to run the tape back like 4 or 5 years, Pete Werner, I told you Pete Werner to start for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's going to be starting 3 years in a row. Pete Werner is a total beast. Baron Browning's going to be a beast. And we're going to start Tough Borland in the middle over who? Over?
I think he was going to say Taraji Mitchell. Because that's who's the other next one in line. I can finish the sentence. Hello.
We missed you.
Aqua?
Sound like somebody cut your cord.
Mid-sentence.
Yeah.
I'm back. All right.
I would if I could.
So that what you're saying, Sean? It's Tryjae Mitchell and Tuff Borland. We're going to have Browning on the outside with Werner. You know, okay. Here's
Browning
another one.
And Werner are going to be so ridiculous. If the middle linebacker doesn't succeed next year, I don't care who they got in there. Then that's on you, because the tackle situation is going to be tight as shit. The line outside linebacker situation is going to be as good as it's been. It's going to be so solid. If you're not a total dominant middle linebacker, then fuck you. I'd keep anybody I put in there on a short leash. If you can't do it, Tough, you're gone. Mitchell, you can't do it, you're gone. Pope, Gant, who, keep running them in there.
Right.
There's tons of talent. That might be the most talented room outside of receivers at Ohio State.
Yeah.
You think the linebacker recruiting has been elite? Not. I don't know. I wouldn't put the linebacker room as like the second dominant position group. I don't know. You want to get into position group rankings, or do you want to save it for next week, Joe? Production note.
Let's save that.
Do what you want, but I'm super high on linebacker.
Table it.
Yeah, I agree. I would say the linebacker room is one of the most talented, even if you go by player rankings. I mean, there's nobody in there that's under a 4-star.
So I'm just talking out my ass then. I don't really know what I'm saying.
Oh, really? The receivers can make a good argument. I think
far and away the receiver room is. I would put the receiver room, up there.
The O line might want to be in the discussion as well as the D line.
Right, but you take this freshman receiver class out of the equation, and it's not even close. It's the other direction.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah, if you don't have this freshman receiver class, then it's hands down linebackers or O-line.
Right.
We're gonna have three linebackers starting this year that pretty much started last year. I mean, those three guys have been the three guys for a couple years now, give or take Malik Harrison or, one year
Harrison
somebody
was,
else.
Harrison was the rock in there, right? I mean, he was the...
Mm-hmm.
Baron Browning, with he's by far and away one of our three best linebackers. Hopefully he sees time in the nickel and that kind of stuff too. Use him as a pass rusher in the nickel is what I'd
like
to see.
The whole problem with it is Tuff Borland dominates through basically our whole schedule, and he looks amazing and he dominates. And then we finally get to like national talent, and his speed, they expose him. I feel like they always expose him. The good teams expose Tuff Borland's speed.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I wanted to run through this 2018 recruiting class, and there's a lot of guys in this class that need to step up, especially these 5-star guys that are basically, they've been on a milk carton.
Give a list of all the 5-stars, because some of them are doing okay.
Well, like, from the 2018 class? No.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Nicholas Pettit-Frere, tackle. Haven't seen this guy play yet. Teron Vincent, injured. Oh. Haven't seen this guy play yet. NPF, we know it's been a weight issue with him. He's had 2 years. These guys are all entering their third year in the program. So NPF has had 2 years to get his weight up and get on the field. Tyreek Johnson, where's this guy ever been? We ran through his snap count.
It was double digits.
Barely. those are the 5-stars. Jalen Gill was a high 4-star. Should have been a 5.
I know.
He's a 98.3.
I feel like you never hear anything about him, and I was like super high on that kid.
He's got to be an option they're looking at at running back. Moving him back in the backfield.
He's not that big.
The kid's explosive. He's like 200 pounds, 205.
He's
light. That is small.
He's 188.
Oh my God.
6 foot.
He's still, 3 years in, he's 188?
Yeah, this is the current roster.
He must be a mixed doghouse. He don't mix like drink this. He's like, nah, I think I'm good, coach.
Yeah,
fuck, fuck this guy.
All I can tell you right now is Mick hates him. He's like 188. God damn, 3 years, fucking 188, bro.
Yeah,
because yeah. He's got to see. Oh my God, I didn't realize he was that. I didn't realize he had not not put on any weight at all.
No, it's basically how he came in. He came in at like 180.
Yeah.
So, another guy that needs to step up. We have seen him on the field, but not sure he's been as impactful. Tyreek Smith, a DN.
Yeah.
High four-star. You know.
Played a lot last year, though. Yeah, played a lot. You know, he made some plays, but he's definitely going to be – he might be earning a starting job this year.
Yeah,
Zach, he might be our best guy this year.
Maybe him and Friday, maybe.
Zach Harrison actually had more Zach snaps Harrison? Last year than him.
Zach Harrison ended up with more than Tyreek. Wow.
284 to 243.
Oh.
And, yeah, so, even in big games, Zach Harrison had 25 against Clemson.
I feel like Tyreek Smith always gets a little bit underrated, and this is going to be his year to shine.
Yeah,
and you know, like you know, Coach Johnson, you know that he's going to be rotating 6, 7, 8 guys probably. So
for sure,
we're definitely going to see him. And if they all stay healthy, you know, I'm sure the numbers will probably even out, or one of them will emerge and be dominant, and that'll change the whole rotation for everyone else. But There's gonna be a bunch of them rotating in and out.
So yeah, just want to finish up this class.
Yeah,
Tommy Togiai, haven't seen much of him. He's been behind BB and Devon Hamilton, so understandable there.
I got a big heart on for this. Can I chime in? I think Tommy Togiai is about to be the like nose tackle boss in the country. This is his year. He's been like the strongest guy. Anytime you see him in there, no one ever like pushes him back. He's always moving forward. Mm-hmm. Maybe his technique isn't always the greatest, but no one stops him. He's a bowling ball.
Yeah. Strongest guy on the team. You know, you got other guys here. You know,
Tommy needs to have a big year.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Yeah, we need him. He's going to be starting. I mean, we need him. Doing his thing.
Yeah, exactly. Just 250 snaps last year. Didn't see him in there in meaningful reps. But
I think some of that, too, came from Devon Hamilton. Kind of, he stepped up.
Sure.
Going into last year. I think he was a guy that I didn't really have any expectations for.
Playing for that money,
but,
man.
You know, but, you know, Devon Hamilton was just one of those dudes that he earned more playing time and then produced. And which got him more and more playing time, which then put somebody like Togiai, just you got less snaps because this dude's balling the fuck out.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe if Togiai is that guy this year, you know, somebody coming up, Taron Vincent or somebody's going to fall down in snaps. Say, well, this guy was fucking all conference almost. Yeah. You know, that happens.
Did you say that's Taron Vincent's class too, Joe?
Yeah, definitely.
He was the man.
Taron was the big. He was the number one guy from the class, right?
Next to Taron, I mean, this should be an absolute train wreck for interior lines.
Yeah.
With those two next to each other, and then the depth we have. I didn't even know we got Antoine Jackson back. He gets 8 years eligibility. I'm down with it. I don't care.
Right.
He's in that class. Tyler Friday, Javante Jean-Baptiste. That was a D-line loaded class.
Got recruited with Ted Ginn. He's still playing.
So, I mean, but yeah, there's going to be probably 6 or 7 of those guys in that rotation, just like there is every year. But, yeah, that 2018 class is the class come and do.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be, I mean, how are you going to handle that, Big Ten?
That's a lot of talent.
Yeah. But it's young. I mean, this D-line is really inexperienced.
They haven't played a ton of,
and this is gonna be the first year since how many years, we haven't had that one dominant guy, you know, the Chase Young or the Bosa, mm-hmm. you know, that everybody talked about, that got all the hype and then got all this, you know, attention, that caused all the attention for offenses. We don't have that one guy now.
I know. You know what really pisses me off? That Micah Parsons, that dude is a freak.
Parsons? Was that what you said?
Yeah.
Micah Parsons?
Oh. Yeah.
We should, I don't know how we lost that recruiting.
Blah, blah.
That was the ESPN fumble. He got a photo taken the game
that's
day
right.
guys when they were on campus, and that was a violation. We had to stop recruiting him.
So, yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Herbie.
Fucking, yeah. Where the fuck us when? Oh,
NCAA, nice rules. This one, like, random bullshit. Like, oh, he saw you over at your place. Violation.
Yeah, it's like the game day cast. The game day cast. They're the ones that I'm sure they said, "Hey, you want to get a picture with us? Come on over." Like, ESPN's responsible for the violation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, we could just go on and on about that shit.
Yeah.
I don't see.
I didn't even think about that, Jeff. That's shit. ESPN is responsible for that violation.
I mean, if they call the kid over, it wasn't Ohio State. I can't imagine it was the Ohio State people said, "Hey, Micah, why don't you come over here and get a picture with the game day cast?"
Well, but you know Archie's in the woods.
I don't know.
Whoever was doing the tour or the escort, escorting these players around, should have known better.
They're the ones ultimately
well versed in compliance issues.
Yeah, because they can put the stop to it. Say, no, MC, that's a violation. No, we're not doing that.
Right.
Pull that kid out of there. You're right. That's
just like if a fan offered one of those recruits a sandwich.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
Nope. Fucking smack it out of the fan's hands. Get out of here.
Right.
Hoffa would think NCAA's crooked.
Yeah. He might. He's like, he might actually take some notes.
No, I talked to Joe.
Yeah, how do you get your labor so cheap?
So, yeah, the rest of this 2018 class still needs to step up. We got Dallas Gant, Kayvon Pope. Obviously, these guys have been behind some linebackers there.
Well, can they get a chance to step up?
But, I mean, everybody's been behind stars. Right. We've had studs at every position. So everybody in this class has been behind guys. The 2017 class had fucking – that's – Okuda and Chase Young and all those guys, right? 2017?
Right.
Right. In the 2016 class, there's NFL guys from that class. I mean, every class, we have fucking studs. So every class gets stuck behind. It's, you know, it's been that way since Zeke and Bosa and them came in.
What do you guys think
Pretty
about
much.
This idea? What do you think about looking at the transfer portal to bring in some depth at corner and running back?
Well, when I saw Ricky Slade from Penn State was transferring, I'm like, well, hey, I remember we liked him at one point.
Yeah.
Why don't we like him again?
Yep.
But I don't know, you know. But obviously, not knowing the background with how that could have, you know,
I don't
how
love the, it either. But I
you don't know how the school feels. They have a strong feeling one way.
You're talking about running back and cornerback. Two of the positions, in my opinion, that guys have, like, the biggest egos, most, like, you know, just, like, whatever. I don't think you can just bring in a guy, even though we did with Sheffield, but Sheffield didn't come in and start. Sheffield was the number one corner when he came in, but he came in with Okuda, but then left before, whatever. He was the number one guy before Okuda and Wade.
Okay, but we need depth. The guy doesn't necessarily have to come in and be a starter. I mean, there are a couple issues with this where in April, the NCAA is going to discuss the one transfer option.
Right.
And so we may find out in April that going forward for this coming season that you get your one transfer without losing any eligibility, you know, without sitting out. So
I thought that was already finalized.
No, they're just investigating.
I think certain positions it works for. We were decimated at quarterback. Without Fields, you know what happened. You get a graduate transfer O lineman. Hey, perfect. That's the perfect transfer portal guy. Do I want? Maybe if there's a graduate transfer cornerback, do I want a second or third year running back that might have some issues with it? I don't know. I don't want to fuck up the team. I feel like Ohio State's got enough to deal with on certain positions if it's not an emergency. And I don't think running back to me is not yet an emergency. If they love Slade, I know that Slade was a motherfucker coming out of high. I wanted that kid bad.
Right. Well, if the coaching staff...
What's that do to the room? I don't know.
Yeah, but you're
the,
right.
You have to have some faith in the culture actually being able to take on somebody that might be a little bit of a problem. You know? I mean, because your culture and your program is so strong.
No, fuck that. Michigan State has to deal with that. We only want quality guys now. We don't need the fucking risk. Ohio State right now is at the pinnacle of its brand, and we don't need the risk. Let somebody else take that highly rated banger where we're taking somebody else of high character. Like, I heard about Garrett Wilson. I met some people from Austin, like Travis, and they were like, this kid and his fan... He's like, these are salt of the earth, good people. That's the guys I want. Whether they're the highest rated, I don't want your problem, kids. If you're a problem at all, even if there's an inkling of that, hey, not welcome here. We're doing this thing. That's my rant. Fuck y'all.
All right. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, okay. Sean, we wouldn't have half the kids we've had through our program if we didn't weren't willing to risk minor red flags or minor issues that they help the kids work through. A lot of our great players, I'm sure, had some kind of issues.
Hold on.
I'm not talking about police arrests that we can all just name off right now, but
I don't think so.
You can't completely.
Other than the recent things that came about with Reap and.
I'm not even counting that issue. Just saying.
You know, yeah,
You got to deal with some of it, Sean. You can't just completely shut every player off that has the most minor issue.
You know what I loved after the Reap and Wint thing. When I heard that came out, I texted my Michigan State buddies who were going through their own shit with D'Antonio. And before Ryan Day ever said a peep, I texted my Michigan State buddies. I'm like, you're about to see how a serious program handles this shit. And it was like 2 hours later, Ryan Day, these guys are out. It's done. I'm like, yeah, there's no like waffling. It's fucking, no.
Exactly. That's what we're about. That's how it should have been.
And
he was just asked this past week if there's any way Wint and Reap could be let back on the team, and he said no.
Is there any course of the future is there any scenario that's what they were wording, like, is there any scenario that they could find their way back?
Definitive no, right?
Yes. Yeah, he said no. He said yeah, that's done.
Well, and I love that because it's not if they did anything criminal. It's like you did something that Ohio State football is not condoning, and that's it for us. And I love me some Ryan. Ryan Day, I don't know. I love that man. This dude, has he ever done googly eyes for him, don't you? I do. I mean, like, serious man crush.
Oh, fuck.
No, I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna be like Woody Hayes, except for like 30 years.
Hmm. That's a tough thing to do. You don't see coaches stay anywhere more than 5 years anymore.
Yeah, I. You hope, but you don't. You can't. I don't expect it. I It would be great. It'd be great to see him be the next legendary coach to just finish out a long tenure. But, you know, I hope Herb stays retired too. But.
You betcha.
Why did this just take a turn to Fargo?
I'm up north here, you know.
You need that undercoating, eh?
Sure.
All right. Anything else you guys want to cover?
No, the floor is Sean's.
It always has been.
Yeah. It's gonna, yeah, the bathroom floor is going to be his fucking yeah. neighbor here in about 20 minutes.
We'll see.
All right, folks.
We're working
that
on it.
Is the show. Hopefully we brought some sunshine into your day. How's this time change treating you, Sean?
I don't even know.
All your Perfect. Clocks are still an hour behind?
No, I got up an hour early to take my kid to hockey.
Okay.
He's up here like, hey, Dad, let's go. Okay, man. All right, give me 10 minutes. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. As always, follow the show. As Sean is so kind to promote the supply store. Get your shirts and hats.
You betcha.
And you are pretty close to Canada. I guess that stuff's kind of leaking into your water system.
Sure, eh?
So, thank you very much for joining us, folks. Jeff, Sean, thank you very much for your time. And quote-unquote contributions.
Nice hearing from you, Jeff. Be a stranger.
Same to you, brother.
All right, we will see you folks in a couple weeks. We'll hit you again. We'll probably do a schedule breakdown. Sean will give you his ironclad concrete score predictions. Jeff, hopefully you can join us. I'd love to see you two debate a final score for every game on the schedule next year.
Perfect. Can't wait.
Steel Chambers for Heisman. Go down early.
Not even on the board.
Not on the board. Right.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
See ya.
Peace.